With more confirmation expected today of unemployment at depression-era levels, we'll look at where the joblessness is concentrated. I'm David Brancaccio. We need to prepare ourselves for the chance that the unemployment rate out today will hit 20%. This will cover May, with some businesses reopening after coronavirus shutdowns. This week, the Labor Department listed the cities that have been hit hardest by layoffs. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Two cities in Hawaii, followed by Las Vegas and Atlantic City, topped the April list for the highest rates of unemployment in the country.
You know, these are areas that depend significantly on tourism, travel, people coming to conventions, and that's all stopped, and they got hit hard early on.
Mark Zandi with Moody's Analytics says while many areas of the country have started to reopen, tourism and business travel will likely remain depressed as long as worries about the virus persist. Several Midwestern cities with strong ties to manufacturing also ranked high for unemployment, but could improve faster should business return to normal quickly. Jed Kolko, chief economist with job search site Indeed, says in recent weeks he's seen a drop in job postings outside just tourism spots.
Rather, there's some of the big tech and finance hubs across the U.S., ironically, some of the places where it's easier to work from home.
He says the slowdown in those sectors may be less about the current shutdowns and more about uncertainty over the future health of the economy. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
The Dow future is up 1.1%, 284 points. The S&P future up 0.7%. President Trump has issued a new executive order allowing federal agencies to bypass some environmental laws. The president says this is about energizing the economy, but environmentalists disagree. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with details.
David, the president is ordering federal agencies to bypass environmental reviews for big infrastructure projects, things like mines, highways, and pipelines. He says reviews involving laws like the Endangered Species Act are slowing down those projects.
What do environmental groups have to say about this?
Well, they say these environmental reviews are important because they give people who would be affected by, say, a new pipeline going through or near their community, a chance to have a say in the project. We spoke with Samantha Gross about this. She's a fellow at the Brookings Institution.
Studies have shown that COVID-19 is harsher, is harder on people who have been exposed to environmental pollutants. And so in response to this horrible disease, we're going to roll back a law that potentially protects people from greater pollution.
So will these environmental laws just go poof by executive order?
No, it won't be that easy, David. Samantha Groth says there's no question this executive order will be challenged in court. And she says environmental groups will bring lawsuits to put a stay on it to prevent it from going into effect.
Nancy, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In New York, city and state officials have now pulled together $500,000 to help small businesses in the Bronx section that were damaged or ransacked during these days of protests. The mother of Eric Garner, the Staten Island, New York man killed in 2014 by a police officer who used a chokehold, was in full support of protests in recent days, but has called people who stoke violence opportunists. In, for instance, Minneapolis, an insurance group estimates damage at about $25 million. Many demonstrators say peaceful protesting is essential. Others say equal justice and not property damage is the central issue here. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab consulted some thinkers about the drivers of this kind of theft and vandalism.
In the recent protests, it's not clear yet who's responsible for the illegal activity, whether it's outside groups or people who live in these cities. But what makes people want to smash windows and destroy property? Darnell Hunt is a professor of sociology at UCLA.
It's never just about the triggering event. They tend to be the result of an explosion of underlying factors that have been simmering for years.
Right now, those underlying factors include people's relationships with the government and police, but it's also about their relationships with their community.
A lot of people from those communities would argue, well, it's not really my community. In fact, the businesses in this community often exploit me.
Also, research shows when police wear riot gear and use tear gas, things can escalate more quickly.
When police try to impose order, it creates more frustration and therefore more, it brings more people out and more resistance.
Kevin Mumford is a professor of history and African American studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says once the frustration becomes physical, people may act out against businesses that feel symbolic.
It's not completely spontaneous. There's a narrative, right?
Mumford says brands and their buildings can be a physical representation of inequality. For instance, Target was an early pick in Minneapolis. The brand is headquartered there, and in 2004, the company donated $300,000 to the city to help purchase 30 surveillance cameras downtown. And the company has partnered with the city's police department in other ways that have been criticized by local activists. UCLA's Darnell Hunt says it's not just about specific stores, but sometimes specific neighborhoods.
We're seeing a lot of activity in relatively upscale and affluent communities from coast to coast.
He says, of course, some people could be stealing to take advantage of the moment. But for others, this could be a last resort to bring attention to inequality. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And after pandemic shutdowns, Las Vegas casinos just began reopening with new social distancing and disinfecting plans in place. The Wall Street Journal notes this includes new hand-washing sinks plumbed in right near the slot machines. Well, don't put the coin in the drain by mistake, although some may say the effect would be about the same. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.